This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. We're here on the second day of the Visionary Annual Conference 2025, and I'm joined by two of the panellists from the Responsible Use of AI panel. Can you introduce yourselves and your work?
Hi, my name's Sarah Watson, and I'm Head of Innovation for the National Lottery Community Fund.
And hi, I'm Helen Donkin. I'm Head of Marketing at Henshaws, who are based in Greater Manchester and North Yorkshire.
Sarah, you talked a lot about how AI is already present in the sector. Even if people aren't aware, it's being used by people in their workplaces. It's used in search engines and lots of apps that we use. How do you see acknowledging this and being open about it as a way for charities to move forward and use AI as a tool?
Yeah, I mean, we talked a little bit about how, you know, people are using AI in their personal lives, and so they're going to bring some of that use into the workplace with them. So you may, as a senior leader or a trustee, think that, you know, AI isn't actually happening in your charity, but the chances are it probably is. And I think when it probably is, it's really important to start putting the right guardrails in place. And those guardrails will support the team that are already using AI to be able to use it safely, but it will also encourage those people that haven't quite yet taken that step to be able to experiment with it safely. At the National Lottery Community Fund, we have a staff policy to support that, and it has kind of three key areas that we focus on. The first one is around security, and can't emphasise enough the importance of GDPR when using some of these AI tools. So we talk a lot with our staff about making sure that data, you know, any personal information is secure. You know, if you're not going to put it in an email that you're going to send to people, then you wouldn't put it in something like ChatGPT. We also talk about transparency, so that if you're using AI, that everybody's aware that you've used AI to support you to write a document or to put a presentation together. It's not about calling people out, it's just about making sure that there's integrity in what we're delivering. And it also helps other people that haven't necessarily started using AI to see some of the really useful applications of it. And then the final one is sort of into that integrity space, and it's making sure that people are accountable for what they're producing with the use of AI. AI has a bit of a habit of telling you what it thinks you want to hear. It can hallucinate and give you facts and information that aren't necessarily accurate. So we say to all of our staff, if you're using AI to help you with presentations or documents or summarizations, whatever it might be, always check what's there, because ultimately you are accountable for that piece of work you're delivering. So broadly, those are kind of the guardrails that we put in place for people, just to give that space to be able to use it and experiment with it safely.
And Helen, you talked about the rubbish in, rubbish out theory, where if people aren't aware how to use AI in a useful, responsible way and apply, kind of like you say, these guardrails and critical thinking, then it ends up not being that useful. And you talked as well about the kind of huge bias in data sets, that a lot of the data that is used comes from online forums that aren't reputable sources. For people starting to explore AI, what are some of the key things that they should have in mind to make sure they're using kind of reasoning and their critical thinking, but learning how to explore this as a tool?
So for me, I think people don't realise how much AI is already embedded in our day-to-day life. Netflix recommendations is AI. Amazon's recommendations are AI, so you're already using it. So I do say play, but to play safely, a lot of the main language models have training online, so have a look at those. Go on YouTube. We forget that the joy of some of the sides of social media is there is advice and guidance in there. So have a search, have a look. Don't take everything you see as right. Again, use some critical thinking, but investigate, play. There's lots of different techniques you can do for your prompting to make sure that's done well. Two things really I recommend to people is give your task a role, so whatever you're doing, acting as A, and then it'll give it some context. And if it's something a little bit more complex, get the AI to ask you questions, and it'll then give extra detail and level. But just play and learn and figure out what works with your content and what you're doing, because what might work for me might not work for Sarah's task. And I think it's one of those I have a very long Word document of different prompts that I've seen on LinkedIn or on Instagram or on different platforms that I throw and put away, and in many different newsletters I'm in, so that if I've got a task and I'm not sure, it just goes to it and you can have a look and think, oh yeah, I could use that bit of that one and that bit of that one, and amalgamate it. But I think it's one of those is just play and learn and just have a go, have a try.
And understandably, lots of people have concerns about what AI means for kind of the future of our work. But there was also a lot of hope in the conversation about how we can collaborate and organisations can be transparent with each other and learn what has been useful and what hasn't. What were some of the key takeaways for you from this conversation about moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think, and we talked very much at the beginning about how none of us are experts, that anyone that tells you they're an AI expert is probably not strictly being truthful with you, because it's such a new technology and it's changing and emerging all of the time. When you look at the main players, they're, you know, there are global commercial organisations, and as a sector, we don't have that clout. Civil society doesn't have that kind of clout. But actually, when you look at how many different organisations make up that civil society space, if we are all sharing what we're doing, and if we're all sharing not only what we're doing that's worked well, but also it's really important to share the stuff that hasn't worked, because generally I find you learn a load more from mistakes than you do from successes. So it's finding those channels to share and be sharing as broadly as possible. And so that's sharing, you know, processes, that's sharing examples, it's sharing case studies, it's even sharing tools that people are starting to build themselves as well. And I think that's the real strength that this sector brings to this whole AI conversation and AI debate. And some of the, you know, the ethical concerns that we have are, you know, maybe not shared in the same way as they are with the larger commercial organisations. So it gives us a real opportunity to explore and to be into these spaces, to understand how we can create a learning model that actually doesn't have bias in it, because between us as civil society, we have the kind of data sets that those large language models can be trained on, which do away with that bias. So I think the opportunities for us as a sector working together are huge, and that's what I get really excited about.
And for me, it's about getting back to what our core bit is. I always refer to things as time vampires. What's your time vampire? What takes the longest that you hate doing? If AI can help us with that, and we can get back to more front-facing and supporting our service users rather than writing up meeting notes or writing reports on data stats, that is life-changing for so many people. If we can even impact 10% more people because we've increased that 10% efficiency, that to me is where's the future for AI in the sector.
Perfect. Thank you so much for talking to me on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much for having us.